began so long ago with a band of Queen's Park men.
Hello and welcome to the latest episode of the Spiders Talk podcast. It's David Blair, Enzo Tamanini and Callum Stewart back again this week. We have two very different Queen's Park teams to talk about. Over the past weekend, on Saturday, the men's team lost 1-0 to Inverness in a must-win game. So myself and Enzo, obviously being at the game, we won't spend too much time on that. I mean, obviously it has a lot of implications for what goes on to the end of the season. We will talk briefly about what went wrong and what needs to change going into next week against Dunfermline. But we will start our episode with, obviously, having Queen's Park Women winning the SWPL2 title on Sunday after a 6-1 victory over Stirling University, finally winning the league after what feels like months at this point, given the lead that they've had in that league table, not just in terms of points, but the goals that they've been scoring as well. It's been dominant pretty much every single week. They finally sealed that league title with a few games to spare. Myself and Enzo have also taken the time we've managed to catch up with manager Craig Joyce and captain Ellie Kane, so you'll be hearing from them later on this episode as well. First of all though, Callum, how are you doing out in Malawi? What have you been up to recently?
Not much. I spent a lot of time watching the golf for my sons over the weekend, but relatively quiet one between that and basically just the standard weekly horror of trying to follow the results for Queens. It is total pain. For the men's team anyway. Obviously we'll be coming on to much happier conversation shortly. But yes, aside from that, not too much. Just enjoying the relatively nice weather here.
Well, it's actually been a relatively nice day here as well, Callum. I mean, it's probably nothing like the African sunshine that you're getting down there, but for a change, it's been dry and sunny, and hopefully that means that it's going to start to pick up a wee bit, because it's been brutal recently, and I'm not sure, even though it has been awful, it's been anywhere near as brutal as watching Queens for the past few weeks, because it's just it's really, really tough to watch at the minute. It's just I don't think anything's been clicking in the past three games. I think the team's been all over the place, obviously missing Dom Thomas, but we can't rely on one man to keep us up at this stage. Saturday, as you say, David, was a must-win game, and we came out of it empty-handed with an absolute stinker of a performance. Fortunately, it wasn't all doom and gloom around the club with the fantastic news that the Queen's Park Women managed to clinch a league title on Sunday afternoon. Obviously, with the Kilmarnock game earlier on that day, they knew that all they had to do was go in and win that match against Stirling University. You didn't know what things were going to be looking like with that game kicking off earlier on, but fortunately they went ahead and did that, and I'm sure people will enjoy listening to the really good conversations that we had with Craig and Ellie.
Yeah, I mean, Enzo, you're absolutely right. Obviously, on Sunday, you had Kilmarnock, who are perhaps the only team at this point, I think, that could have caught Queen's Park in the league. They had an early kickoff against Glasgow Women, and it was an unexpected 1-0 defeat for Kilmarnock. So, yeah, the Spiders went into Sunday afternoon, 4 o'clock kickoff, knowing that a point at least would win the league title. As I say, you spoke to the manager, Craig Joyce. I had a chance to speak to Ellie Kane. I think we might as well hear from Craig Joyce right now. So using the wonders of technology, coming up right now is Enzo speaking to manager Craig Joyce.
So I'm now joined by Craig Joyce, head coach of Queen's Park Women. Craig, how are you doing today?
Absolutely amazing. Still kind of living off the high of Sunday, so even though I just said to you off air, it's not really sank in. You've still got that buzz about you and that high, do you know what I mean? So, yeah. Really well. Aye, really well. Thanks, mate. How are you?
I'm doing not too bad, aye. So, obviously, the first thing I wanted to say is congratulations on the fantastic season that the team have had. I mean, how big an achievement is this, really, for the club?
Massive. I think it's a lot bigger than what people actually expect. Think of, do you know what I mean? People might just think, oh, they've won the league, well done, they've done a lot, but I think when you look back to when we first came in, myself and Ian and the other coaching staff that had came in with us, I think when you look back to it, the club was, the team was nearly gone, do you know what I mean? A lot of people don't know that, like, if they never get somebody to come in and take the team, and they were kind of just going to play at it and then see what happened that season and then get rid of it, and it would have been a shame, because ever since I can remember, there's always been a Queen's Park women's team. and to achieve promotion, something that we said we would be looking to do in three seasons. And I think we just got a right belief about us at pre-season, thinking, no, this could be the year we're going to go and do this year. And then as pre-season went on and we had some tough games in there, and a lot of people, I can remember them looking at the Rangers game in the Glasgow Cup thinking, oh, maybe it's no, but excuse me, to be honest with you, we went and played Rangers really open. Like, it's something we wouldn't do to this day, but we thought, it's in the Glasgow Cup. It's not going to affect us at all. It's going to actually maybe breed a bit of belief into the girls that they can actually go out and play. But albeit we would have had a lot more defensive structure, and we played Rangers the second game into pre-season, which ideally you don't really want to be playing Rangers or Celtic or anybody of that calibre in your second game of pre-season. But we went and had a go, and we didn't want to sit back and listen, we get battered scoreline wise, but playing wise you would never believe it if we told you we were in the game at 42 minutes and then they scored three before half time to go and concede what we conceded the second half. No ideal, not what you want, but we stayed open, we made a lot of changes, and we still kept trying to play and impose ourselves in the way we wanted to do it. And then we played Hibs a week later, and the girls were probably thinking at that time, oh, bloody hell, what are you doing to us? But Hibs was a lot closer. The girls had obviously built on the Rangers game, and it was about having the conversation with, if you can be brave enough to go and play against teams of that calibre, then you'll be doing all right. Then we'll cope fine in the league, and the cups will be fine. And we tend to test ourselves against Prem 1 opposition quite a lot. So we want to gauge where we could get to, and the more we've done it, the more we were like, I think we might be ready for this. And the season's just one of the seasons where it's still not finished, but for being crowned champions on Sunday, you look at it and go, that was a top season so far. It's still not finished yet, but it's a top season so far, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, definitely. So you joined the club at the start of the 22-23 season mm-hmm. with Glasgow before, who you also got them promoted to the SWPL1, didn't you? How does this compare for you personally?
I think the promotion at Glasgow, it was Glasgow Women. I think the promotion at Glasgow Women, we get promoted in the last day of the season. We kind of get put into a playoff between us and Birmingham, whoever won would go up. So it was obviously the buzz of the last day thing. Do you know what I mean? It was that was it done. Whereas just now we've won the league at the first opportunity we could. And by the way, what an achievement that is, considering how tight it's been in terms of anybody can beat anybody in that league. But I think this one is a wee bit more special because you've won the league, you've won the championship, and you've earned the right to go up automatically. And it's just, it's a journey. There was a journey at Glasgow, which I'm proud of, and this one's just a wee bit different. I think I'm really proud of this one in comparison to, I'm not saying we had the world at Glasgow in terms of budget either, but we've not spent a penny, and we know for a fact that there's other clubs that are, and we've managed to push and get the best out of the girls and the staff, and they've really kicked on, and the recruitment was key. I think we had time to recruit, whereas last summer when we came in, we never really had time to recruit. We had maybe 4 or 5 weeks before the season started. By that time, everybody's signed up, everybody's made their decision, everybody thinks you're at the game, and then all of a sudden you pop up at a new club, and it's harder to go for them, whereas we'd pinpointed who we wanted this season, and I think we missed out maybe one or two of them. We were quite lucky in terms of recruitment that we managed to sell the project that we were working on. Yep. And I think that's what makes it worth it. Seeing the smiling faces and the singing, and some of their dance moves were questionable, but well worth it. Do you know what I mean? But that's what makes this it makes it special. And Glasgow was the exact same, but it just feels different, if you get me, because you've went up as champions. It's got that different incentive, and I don't think it's something that the club maybe envisaged. I think maybe when I sat down with them, when I first came in, said, right, here's my plan, what do you think? And they're like, right, we like the look of it, but we were really like, right, come on, are you going to go for it? Are you going to be brave enough to go for this? And they were brave enough to go for it, and we've managed to pull it off in two seasons.
Aye, well, you say the dance moves were questionable on Sunday. I can imagine they were even worse on Sunday night after they'd had a few drinks. So last season, you finished sixth in the league, is that right? What's kind of, you touched on the recruitment and just kind of the overall approach. Is there anything else that you think has led to this massive, massive, you know, turnaround and improvement and how the team's done over the course of the full season, which, as you say, hasn't even ended yet. There's still a few games to go.
Yeah, I think the first thing that we looked at probably a month or so ago, the season previous, was like, right, where do we need to strengthen? How are we going to strengthen and who are we going to bring in? And we've got a template that we kind of work to, that we look in the players that we're going to bring in and the players that we've got, and they all kind of need to tick the boxes and the things that we look for. Everybody we looked at ticked the boxes. There was some out with that we're thinking, might be a bit ambitious and go for them. And some have just been unlucky with and not got them because they've got a bigger offer or a better offer elsewhere. And that could be financially, or it's closer to them, or anything like that. Do you know what I mean? So, logistic wise, we knew what we were coming up against. So we knew the league. We knew what to expect when you go to a Meadowbank. We knew what to expect when you go to St Johnstone. We knew what to expect when you go to Garcairn, Kilmarnock, etc., etc. Do you know what I mean? So we had a real understanding of what the league was about. We kind of kept an eye on what other teams were doing, but didn't focus on it too much. Whereas maybe the season before, we kind of looked at it and went, we're going to Montrose with 12 players. Now, going to Montrose with a full squad's hard enough. Yeah. Never mind just travelling there with 12 players at the tail end of the season.
Well, after they went up.
They were absolutely fantastic last year. And you only take your hat off to them and look to maybe inspire to hit the levels that they have. Do you know what I mean? And it's one of them. We looked at that, and one that I've always kind of looked at and maybe won't go down too well with Queen's Park fans is you take a look across the city at Partick, you think, well, they went up a few seasons back. They've been sustainable in Prem 1. How have they done it? How have they went about it? So we started putting the plans in place of, right, how are we going to be sustainable? How are we going to squad that's going to last the season? Because at certain points, it's going to become bitty with international breaks and cup breaks if you don't make it through to the next round. But how do we keep them motivated? How do we keep them going? And it's the old cliche, mate, but it's the genuine truth. We got to a point where we just looked at one game at a time.
Yeah.
We got one game at a time. We looked at a block of four games. So we looked at the first four games and thought, right, how many points can we take out of that? We'll go for 12. And that might seem a bit arrogant and a bit big-headed, but we believed we had the squad to go for 12 points in the first four games.
And you were right then, because when you look back, some of the results, some of the scorelines have been ridiculously impressive. I mean, was there any point during the season where you kind of thought to yourself that we are going to do this? Like, when did it sink in that winning the league was a real possibility?
I think it wasn't that we were going to win the league that day, but I said this the other day in an interview after the game, that when you go to Garcairn and won 5-1 convincingly on the first day of the season against a team who have been second, went into a playoff and very unlucky not to get promoted to SWPL1, that we kind of looked at that and thought, right, okay, we've got something here. And that was, by the way, we went there with a couple of players who were sick, a couple who weren't fit and picked up niggles that week. And we were looking and going, right, how do we adjust it? And that game we tactically changed and put Leah Daly in as one number six in midfield. Young Leah, who traditionally is a wide player or a striker or can play at fullback. So I'll give you, she's a utility player, a very good one at that, still so young. And she went in at six and just strolled through the game, controlled the game, played deep for us and allowed the other midfielders and strikers just to go and do their job. She was just picking the ball up and spraying it about, and our fullbacks were up nice and high and the defenders were commanding. And again, it was a bit like the weekend. We were in full control of the game. Garcairn scored and it maybe poked the bear a wee bit. Do you know what I mean? It woke us up and was like, oh, hold on a minute here. We've had a lot of possession, some shots on target, we've no scored yet, and then we go and score three and then score two in the second half. And that's the challenge we put on the girls. And for the word go, it's always been the next game, the next game, the next game. And probably when you actually sit down and think about it without somebody asking you, you were probably looking at the week that we played Livingston and then we played St Johnstone away. So we played Livingston at home. We were trailing in the game 2-1 and we came back to win 3-2. And I think that showed a real bit of character with the players, a real bit of dig and desire of, nah, we're not getting beat. We're not going to stop here, we're going to keep going. And they did. I think Abby Callaghan scored late on for us to win the game. And then the next week you go to St Johnstone and you go 2-up quite early on and you think, right, we can get control of this game. And all it takes is for them to score one goal to flip the game again. And when they scored, we were like, right, tough away venue, tough team to play against because they're a really good side. And then they get a player sent off, and we just couldn't find that third goal. And then they come back to two each, and virtually with 10 seconds to go in the game, Megan Quigley scores a header for a corner, and that was the time it flipped, because I don't know if you'll remember correctly, but Kilmarnock got beat that day, and that was the day it gave us a chance to push ahead of them. Now, it was only a couple of points, but it gave us that foothold now. Aye, we're on top. Do you know what I mean?
Yep.
And that's when the mentality shifted with the players as well. The players were always hungry. They were always striving to get that top spot. Granted, we were neck and neck with Kilmarnock. There was a point between us, but that allowed us to go 2 points ahead that day. I think it might have been 2 or 3 points ahead. And then from that moment on, it's just been foot down and let's go. Yep. Foot down, handbrake off and let's go. And that's the way we've played.
Sounds as a really kind of positive attitude has been a massive contributing factor towards the team achieving what they have done this season. How do you now go into these remaining games with obviously the league already wrapped up? I mean, what is the kind of attitude? Is it just a case of go in, be professional and get it done, or do you tell the girls to go out and enjoy themselves a wee bit more with a bit less pressure on their shoulders?
I think the big thing that we've always said to them, mate, throughout the whole season is. And I think I might have alluded to this in another podcast that I've done, but it was why did you start playing football? Because we enjoy it. I said, we need to enjoy this. And this was early on the season. This was actually after we got beat off Kilmarnock. We all spoke as a team. It wasn't a crisis meeting or anything, but we had a wee chat at training and said, right, what went wrong? We analysed every game. So we analysed ourselves. We analysed what we'd done right, what we could have done better, how we can affect the game the next time we play against the same team. Then how we can take it into the next game. And when we looked at it, we thought, well, why do you all play football? Because we enjoy it. Why did you start playing when you were a kid? With your mum, your dad, your sister, your brother, your aunts, your uncles, your pals. Why did you start playing? Oh, we enjoy it. Keep enjoying it. You're here to enjoy yourself.
Yep.
Have fun. And I think it comes through the way we play on the front foot, that the players have fun. Now, there is times there'll be structure and we'll ask them to be a bit more disciplined in their defensive duties against certain teams, but we'll still have fun in doing it. And it's all about it being positive. How do we think? How do we join up with thinking? How do we think forward? And how do we kick on? And that's what we want to look at. And the next few games are going to be the same. Nothing's going to change in our mentality. We're going to look at it and we still want to finish the season undefeated. And I don't mean undefeated and people say, oh, you've been beat a couple of games. I don't mean that. I mean, we want to finish the next 5 games without losing. And that's the aim for them. And there's players there who want to play. There's players there who want to keep their place in the team. So there's a real bit of competition in the squad and they all push each other.
Yeah.
But it'll just be business as usual for us.
Yeah, that makes sense. And then the guys will obviously be looking forward to next season and what their role is going to be potentially going forward. And you never know with a few games to go. The team have scored, 85 goals already this season. You could potentially be pushing for 100 if it comes to it and things click in these next few games, which would be a pretty incredible achievement considering the length of the season. But just kind of looking forward a wee bit, there's probably no use in sugarcoating the fact that it's a massive jump up to the SWPL1 from SWPL2. Do you think you talk about looking at clubs like Partick Thistle who've had a good success making that jump? I mean, they were even in a cup final this season, which was an incredible achievement for them. How do you prepare for that? I mean, is it a bit too early to start worrying about that, or is your head already in that kind of space thinking forward?
No, I think you've got a one eye on it, but you never worry about it. You look forward to it. You get excited by it. I think it's been a long time coming for the club. Now that the right structure's in place behind the scenes, and I think there'll be more that comes out about that in the next month or so. But I think we look at it and we look forward to it. We get excited by it because if you don't get excited by it, then why are you doing it? Do you know what I mean? Why are we here? Why did we strive to get promoted and why are we doing it? So I think you can only get excited about it, but at the same time, we need to have the right structure in place for going up. We need to have the right structure in place, staff-wise, player-wise. The environment needs to be right. The culture needs to continue the way it has been. And improve with personnel that comes in to make that kind of environment even more excitable than it is. But we're also no daft and we're no naive. If you get me, we're no silly. We're not going into it claiming anything. We're going in there. We're going to enjoy ourselves. We're going to play at the highest level we possibly can and test ourselves against the best players. But there still needs to be that bit of enjoyment. And to enjoy it, we need to have the right structure. And we might tinker a few things that we do behind the scenes as well, in terms of tactically and stuff like that. But right now, half an eye's on that, and the one and a half other eyes, if you get me, are still on finishing this league as strongly as possibly as we possibly can, and enjoying Trophy Day when it comes along.
Aye, that makes sense, and I'm sure that'll be someday for everybody involved when it does come around on the 12th of May, you were saying earlier on. Is there any other highlights for you other than Sunday, obviously, when the league title was clinched? What's your favourite moment of the season so far?
Oh my God, what a question that is.
I know, because it's been pretty incredible from start to finish, and it's not finished yet, but I'll put you on the spot there. Is there anything that really stands out?
You have. I think it might have been last year. Last season we were pretty fortunate that Abby Callaghan won Player of the Month for the club, and that was a first.
Yep.
That was the first ever that
a player. I think I know where you're going with this then.
So to have Ellie winning 4 in a bounce was pretty special for her. The true story is that the club had made her, I think it went out on social media, but they'd made her an award for winning 3, and then she won the next one. They're like, right, should we hold off? Because she got nominated for the 5th, and they were like, should we hold off for this? Should we know? And then James got word through that she had no won that one. They're like, oh, thank God we can get it made up now. And it's kind of, do you know the biggest highlight is the girls and the staff etching their own story into the club's history. I think that's probably the biggest highlight. It's always about a story, it's always about a journey. And the fact that their journey is now part of Queen's Park's history, and the Ellie's on the wall, and no doubt the league trophy picture will be on the wall somewhere within Lesser Hampden or the City Stadium. And it's the fact that the girls now have their own legacy, and they never had that before. And obviously winning the trophy is immense, but the journey that's went on behind it, it's all about the people for us, and the people have been absolutely fantastic, mate. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. If I didn't think they were fantastic, one, they wouldn't be there, and two, I wouldn't talk so much about it. But the people that we've got in the building are absolutely unbelievable. And they push each other every day, and they deserve this story that they've made. But again, it's not finished. I know they've all got their own goals, and the team have still got a goal behind the scenes and behind closed doors, so they'll be pushing for that. But at the same time, obviously winning league's massive. After coming from nowhere and being a relegation favourite at the start of the season, or to finish lower down the table again at the start of the season, that's a big story to tell. But the player of the month, and then the girls that get nominated after it, and then to attract the women's football show and to do the club's player of the month as well, that was another biggie for us, do you know what I mean? So that we're hitting wee milestones as we go, and we just want to keep adding to that legacy. But creating the legacy for them, and I know I'm not being disrespectful to girls that have played for Queen's Park in the past, and people that have played for it in yesteryear, because they've set the foundations for it, but we've kind of took the foundations and made them stronger and better. And we've done that as a group, and we want to continue that legacy and make it for something the fans to be happy about as well. I mean, seeing the young kids there on Sunday, and we've got this core group that follow us everywhere, which is absolutely nuts. And it was torrential on Sunday, and these young kids were there, and to get them in the pictures. And I don't know if Ellie actually told you this morning, but I think she nearly took one clean out with a shot in the warm-up. And he ended up walking away with a signed ball. So any kids that are there, make sure you're hanging about the goal for a warm-up. Get hit with a ball and you'll get a free signed ball. James will kill me for saying that. He will kill me for saying that. But this wee boy get a headshot, and he get that, and he came in and met the team in that after it when they were full on party mode. So it's just wee moments like that you get. And then probably from a game, one of the biggest highlights is Megan Quigley's goal in the last minute against St Johnstone. That was massive, because she was at sick that week and she came back in, and she'll say it herself, she was murdered during the game and then went and scored the winner.
And that's all right place, right time. Anyway, regardless of how the rest of the
exactly. Exactly. If you watch her interview after it, it sounds like she's been swallowing razor blades. Her throat was killing her, but she was she rose high and bulleted that in the back of the net, and that's everybody singing after it, and they were all having a good time in the changing room. And that's something we've encouraged them to do as well. Like, celebrate your wins, because sometimes they don't come around so often, do you know what I mean? So celebrate your wins, enjoy them, but be humble with them as well. And they've done that to a T. I've done that to a T, mate.
Aye, and moments like Sunday don't come around very often, so they have to enjoy it. And but like you say, the story's definitely not done yet. So One last question for you then, Craig. I think it's fair to say, and you've obviously been involved in it for a while, that the women's game has changed for the better so much in recent years, and it's been getting a lot more attention. And that's obviously a really, really positive thing for everybody involved in the game. How would you personally kind of try to sell it to someone who's maybe still not paying it the attention that it deserves? Because it's grown, and it's something that people really should be getting involved in and paying a bit more attention to. What would you say to somebody to try and get them along and to try and get them to follow it a bit more closely?
Come and watch a game. Genuinely. Just come and watch a game. Like, it costs a couple of quid. It's not the most expensive games to come to. But genuinely, come and watch a game and get excited by what you're seeing and back them. And that's something we've kind of been big on and trying to get people through the door as well. And we're still building. We'll always keep trying to build on that. But for anybody that wants, it doesn't need to be Queen's Park. It could be a local team. But go and watch a game and support them and see how it grows and see how special it is to these young girls and young players that we've got at Queen's Park. It's massive. So that's my advice to them. Just go and watch it. Genuinely go and watch it. Excuse me, watch a game and go and enjoy it. And listen, we live in Scotland, it's always going to rain, so take a jacket, but just go and enjoy yourself. Do you know what I mean? Like, it's great. Our match day experience is evolving, and that's what it's all about. We've created a community, and we've actually created a community out with the club who actually speak positively about the club, so that's positive as well. So that's what we'll keep trying to do and keep pushing for it.
Brilliant. Cheers, Craig. I won't keep you any longer, so thanks a lot for your time this afternoon, and good luck with the rest of the season and next season, and congratulations again on what's been a fantastic achievement and an amazing season. It's been totally dominant, and I'm sure that's not going to change anytime soon. He's not going to take your foot off the gas for these remaining few games.
No, thank you very much for having me on, mate. I appreciate the support throughout the season.
Cheers.
Thank you.
So yeah, once again, thank you again to Craig Joyce. That is the second time that we've had him on this season. Obviously spoke to him, I think that was right back, was that perhaps even before a ball was kicked, or certainly very early on into the season as well. Enzo, getting the chance to speak to him there. Obviously, how did you enjoy speaking to him there, and what did you have to make of what he was saying? I mean, obviously delighted at finally securing that league title.
He was obviously buzzing. I think he's quite good at keeping his emotions in check when you're speaking to him about these things. Even earlier on in the season, when you talked to him, David, thought he was quite level-headed about it. And he certainly didn't give any indication that the team were going in with the objective of becoming champions, because ultimately nobody was anticipating that from them. So that just makes this achievement even sweeter. It was never ever on the cards, realistically, before a ball was kicked, and the way they've gone about their business this season is a real testament to the, as Craig kind of touched on there, that the team spirit that these girls have, and the quality of the coaches that they have behind them, supporting them and setting them up every week and making changes when needed, during games and ahead of the following fixture. It's been a fantastic season for them. From what I hear, they had some celebrations on Sunday night, but I don't think they're quite done yet. Still a few games to go. Obviously, they've won the title with four, five games to go at this stage. Still, an absolute canter. They've been utterly dominant, for want of a better word. And I'm sure when they're given that trophy on the 12th of May, that'll be a real party then.
I wonder if they'll do what we did after the men's team won the League Two season and essentially just pack it in. And no one anymore. It's a good interview, and I mean, fair play to Craig Joyce and his coaching staff. It's some job that they've done this season. They've obviously done really well on the recruitment side of it, and he talks about like the team spirit element of it, which, I mean, it's massive, isn't it? I mean, you can see it in plenty of Queen's teams over the years, how much the confidence affects it. But they've just absolutely run away with it this season, and I genuinely don't think anybody could have predicted that to that degree. I mean, if you look at the league table, they've only conceded 17 goals. I mean, total dominance, and it must be exciting for them as well, like looking into next season with the... It's obviously going to be a big challenge moving up a division, so it'll be curious to see how they get on with the recruitment in the summer for that as well, and because it will be... It'll certainly be a competitive market, but you would like to think now that given the work that they've done to sort of make this a more attractive prospect for people, that hopefully the club will back them up in that and make it a really good place to be next season, and they can hopefully put in a good effort.
And like Craig said, recruitment was obviously so massive for them this season. They got the right people in with the right attitude to work with the team and in the way that the team wanted to go about their business, and that makes such a big difference. And you mentioned the defensive record, which is ridiculous. They're even better going forward. That's 23 games. So they've played 23 games and they've scored 85 goals with five to go. It's actually not impossible that they might potentially hit 100 goals, which would just be utterly absurd. But you're right, they're going to be excited. I know that Craig's excited having spoken to him, and that the future is definitely looking really, really bright for Queen's Park Women.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's obviously, you talk about Craig obviously talked about the recruitment process as well. That started a couple of years ago, bringing him in, obviously, with Craig and his assistant Ian Ferry coming over from Glasgow Women, where they'd won promotion from SWPL 2 to the SWPL 1 with Glasgow Women together. And of course, they joined Queen's Park back June 2022. Obviously, a couple of seasons to sort of steady the ship. Queen's Park were struggling back at that point, and that's something that I do mention with Ellie coming up very, very shortly as well. You know, they've been through some difficult seasons recently, so for it all to come together this season, as I say, it all started back then by appointing Craig and Ian in charge of the team, and then of course since then they've just gone from strength to strength. And yeah, we will of course wait to see eagerly, I'm sure, around the club as to what they're able to do next season. As I say, while you were able to speak to Craig Joyce, I spoke to Captain Ellie Kane again for the second time this season. Obviously, she was in sort of national headlines, wasn't she, with the Ford Premier, the Ford SWPL 2 Player of the Month awards in a row. A fantastic goal-scoring record as well. But as you will hear right now, she is mostly proud about leading the team and, you know, speaking like a true captain, very much concerned about the team first and foremost and ourselves coming second. But yes, as I say, I had the chance to ask Ellie Kane about the season as well, and obviously what happens the next five games and into next season as well. And that's coming up for you right now. So I am now joined by Ellie Kane, of course, the captain of Queen's Park Women's team. A couple of days after they have won over Stirling University, it was 6-1 on the day. And due to the results elsewhere on the day, that meant that the SWPL 2 title was, of course, confirmed. Ellie, obviously, first things first, obviously, congratulations on winning the league title. You know, there was that big grin on your face. I watched your post-match interview on the women's Twitter page. A big grin on your face when you were told to go and enjoy the rest of your day. Did you and the squad, did you manage to have a little bit of a party? Or did you have Monday off? Or are you straight back into work the next day?
Yeah, thanks, first of all. And it was relatively tame on Sunday night. No, we've obviously still got a few games left and quite a few celebrations coming up, but after the game, the guys at Nutinto kind of opened the bar for us for a few hours, so we managed to enjoy ourselves a little, even though I was working at 8 the next morning. So, as I said, pretty tame, but still plenty of celebrations to come.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, there certainly will be, of course. As you say, there are a few games left to go in the season, still five to go. Okay, I suppose you can save the proper celebrations for the end of the season. It's going to be Trophy Day on the 12th of May, isn't it? That was the last home game. And then, yeah I'm sure you'll have an even bigger party at the end of season bash, the Player of the Year Awards, as always. Go back to Sunday just there. Obviously, as I say, it was results elsewhere on the day, obviously with Kilmarnock not getting the win. That meant that you guys went in to kick off at 4 o'clock, knowing, or did you know, that a win would, or a point, of course, would have secured the league title that day? Like, as I say, were you aware of that post before kickoff? Because obviously Stirling did take an early lead. Did if you were told about it, did it perhaps lead you a little bit shaky into the game?
Yeah, we were aware of it. In all fairness, it was obviously the first time of asking on Sunday that we could have won the league. So, as much as obviously we were hopeful that things would go our way, we know what football's like, and we weren't too heart set on winning the title on Sunday. So, but I think nerves kind of grew towards the end of the warm up when we had heard Glasgow had scored. We knew even a draw would have been enough for us to win it at the weekend. But I thought Kilmarnock, in all fairness, I was surprised Kilmarnock dropped points. I know Glasgow have got a lot to fight for as well. So, thankfully, they'd done us a turn. But yeah, as you said, I think you could probably see the start of the game that it was an occasion. We had two consecutive corners that we nearly got beat at the front post, and then it eventually came. They tucked one round from a corner in the front post. So as you could say, it was a bit of a nervous start. But when we conceded, I think the girls kind of were like, right, we need to just focus here, what's at hand. And as much as we went behind, I don't think anyone was overly concerned because it was so early in the game. We knew that we'd go and get chances, so the belief was still there that we were going to go out and do the job.
Yeah, obviously it was very early on, as you say, with that first goal conceded, but it only took up another 4 minutes or so before you got level, and then you kicked on from there. 6-1 win on the day, as I say. The season in general, have you had a chance, obviously a couple of days now, to the season's not finished yet, but you look back, obviously, now that you have been crowned champions, was it 22, 23 games, is it, so far, with 5 more to go? I mean, how can you sum up this season, where it's been an absolutely excellent one for the whole team? Is it 2 defeats in the league this entire season? You know, it's been absolutely fantastic. How can you summarise what yourself and your teammates have managed to achieve this season?
It's been totally amazing. I said to the girls on Sunday, it's probably the most enjoyable football season I've ever had. And as much as we're all looking forward to trophy day and the last game of the season and things, I'm also kind of at a point where I don't want it to end, because it's just been so enjoyable. And the group of girls are great, and you know that it's open to change once the season's finished. So kind of looking back on it now, I said obviously in my post-match that the start of the season does seem ages ago now, and saying that, it also feels like it's flowing at the same time, because I can't believe we're here already. We're champions, and that was our goal at the start of the season, and we've just picked away at it and picked up points, important points as well. We obviously had a couple of upsets, especially Kilmarnock away, the 3-0 game. I thought that was probably the worst half of football. The second half we were okay, but the first half we were dreadful, and I think thinking back on that now, you're thinking that could have really been a turning point for us to kind of spiral, but we kicked back on, and that's what we need to do, and that's how we've ended up where we are today. So it's amazing to look back on, but I'm also just enjoying week by week now, because we can enjoy our football without the pressure of what's going to happen at the end of the season.
You mentioned there that this is the most enjoyable season that you've had in, well, maybe your career, I don't know, but certainly very recently. Your time at Queen's Park, it started very differently. Again, it was mentioned in your post-match interview, and also Ian Cairns, the photographer, and obviously a massive fan of the Queen's Park women's team online. He gave yourself, it was Abby Callaghan and Nicole Cairney as well, a special mention that the three of you have been here since the 21-22 season, which was very different. Say there was only 4 wins in that entire season. Obviously, with the three of you being at the club for that long, does it, obviously the three of you may be even slightly closer, I don't know, but how does it add an extra element of how special this is? Not only just with the three of you being here and seeing the team turn around from a lot, not very many wins in a season, to as many wins, you know, 19 wins this season, and especially for yourself and Abby in the last couple of years, of course, scoring goals for fun, it must make it even more special for you.
It definitely does. When I first came in at Queen's Park, it was unrecognisable to where we are just now. As I also touched on at the weekend, we did have a good core of players there, but we didn't have enough incentive to keep players and for players to really be that committed, just with the state that we were in at that point. So it was difficult. There was just been some very bad memories, but it all kind of seems worth it now that we've managed to stick by the club and see the transformation that's happening now, and we've been part of that team that's built us up through the ranks to take us to FWPL1. So I think it does make it even more special. It's obviously great for the girls that have even just joined this year, but for us that have been here through the tough times, I think it definitely makes it, I feel more proud, because I know how hard it has been and how far we've had to come. So I think that definitely makes days like Sunday even more sweet.
And let's then give yourself a moment here to praise yourself here, because of course your season has been quite incredible. You attracted national attention with the start to the season, where you had the 4 Player of the Month awards in a row. I suppose by your own incredibly high standards, it cooled off slightly, but you got a double on the game just there on Sunday. That takes you to, according to the official website, that's 27 goals in 26 games. So you've done plenty of time to praise the other girls in the team and how far you've come over the years. Take a minute to give yourself a pat on the back. How much have you enjoyed this season and obviously grabbing the headlines and leading the team as captain to this league title for yourself? How do you reflect on your own performance this season?
Yeah, well, I've said this plenty of times, but I don't think anyone saw that goal return coming from me, especially. It's a new position, and I think that because I was trying something new, I've kind of had that freedom to just enjoy my football. Because at the start, it was a position I wasn't used to. I wasn't putting too much pressure on myself. I was just going and doing what I could. So I think that's what kind of set me playing so well, especially in those first 4 months of the season. And I just took that enjoyment and I ran with it. There's obviously more expectation now that I'm probably seen as a striker, that I should be scoring goals and things, but because I'm enjoying my football and because the service I get from the girls is unbelievable. Like, if you watch back, 90% of my goals are probably in and around the 6 yard area because they're just putting on a plate for me. So it's been a great team effort, and I couldn't have imagined it going much better for myself, to be honest. So that's a nice wee bonus, but my main focus at the start of the year was obviously doing what I could to help the team get promoted, whether that be through a playoff or champions. So it's worked out as best as it possibly could for me. And as I said before, it's been the most enjoyable season I've ever had in football.
There's still 5 games to go. What do you take into these next 5 games? Is it the motivation to go and score more goals for yourself personally? You're obviously just going to go and try and win every game. I don't know what the sort of record points tally might be for the team in the league. I'm not sure if that's maybe already smashed or if that's within reach. What do you and the team take into these next 5 games? Is it going and performing as best you can, score as many goals, just keep this incredible form up? Is it playing for a contract for next season? What do you take as a motivation for next year or for the next games going into next year?
Well, now that the pressure's off, there's always that you're able to just go and enjoy your football. And that means in no way that we're taking our foot off the gas, because there's no point in getting to this point in the season and just taking over champions, and we'll run with that. And we need to still put in good performances. We've still actually got really hard games coming up against teams that are fighting for second place or teams that are fighting to stay out of the relegation spot. So every team's going to come to us looking to see if we have took our foot off the gas, and that definitely won't be the case. The girls we've got a great mentality and a great attitude, and people in our team are even still fighting to get game time. So there's always that incentive there for every player, and we want to go to the end of the season. Joyce has set out the target at the weekend to go undefeated till the end of the season. So I think that shows you his intentions. But it'll be enjoy our football and pick up maximum points, and then we can really enjoy that end of season night.
Yeah, that makes sense. Pick up maximum points, maybe spoil the party for somebody else this season. That could always be a little bit of fun. Into next season then. So as we say, Queen's Park will be in SWPL1 next season in the top flight of women's football in Scotland. You look ahead to that. Have you had a chance to start thinking about that? What that means, obviously, for, again, not just yourself personally, but the club to develop and to continue to grow. Not again, just the challenges that you're going to face there as well. I don't want to bring you on a downer, certainly, by mentioning that. But of course, there are some heavy hitters in that top league. Of course, Glasgow City are the perennial challengers in women's football. One of the top teams there. You've now, of course, got the big four in the men's game are investing in their women's team, and of course are flying high at the top of the league as well. You came up against Partick Thistle not too long ago in the cup, and obviously it was a pretty close defeat, but gave a really good account of yourselves there. Does a result like that, does that give you hope going into next season and to what you and the girls can achieve?
Yeah, I think so. The cup game, we did use it as an opportunity to kind of assess where we are. We've not played an SWPL 1 team in a while, so it was good to get the chance to maybe see what areas we're lacking in and where we can be next season. But as I said, with looking forward to next season, I'm just thinking right now, enjoy game by game. This is like experiences like this season don't come around often, so we need to keep enjoying the moment, because as you mentioned, next season it could be a different kettle of fish. You can be fighting to stay up, and that is our main focus next year, is to make sure that we do the right things before the season starts, we get the right investment from the club to keep us in that top flight, because we're not going up there just to come back down. We're going up there to compete, and you see teams like Thistle who had done it years ago. They actually went up from the SWPL in third place because of things that happened in the top league. So they weren't even, it wasn't even meant to be that they went up that year. And you see them now, they're easily a top six team that have just got total belief in each other. So we can definitely take a leaf out of their book, and hopefully, like with the right recruitment and things, we'll have incentive to bring players to the club that are going to really bolster us up to keep us in that top flight and to compete against every team, to be honest. So as much as it will be a challenge, we know that, we're not naive to that. It's one that we've all wanted the whole season. We wanted to be in this position that we're in just now, so we need to go and take that and run with it for next year.
Yeah, absolutely. And into next season, you're obviously, final thing, you're obviously looking at the club and what changes can be made. When we spoke earlier on in the season, we spoke about obviously where the club has come from to where we were in, was that October or November that we spoke? And obviously we're now looking ahead into next season, going up another league, it's going to, you know, shine a further spotlight on the women's side of the club. Said many times online this season about the use of the City Stadium, Lesser Hampden, however you want to call it. I do see that as, I believe that's currently being, the pitch is being done up there, so it doesn't look like there may be a chance to see out the season there at all. But I assume next season that's going to be maybe one of the things that's top of the list, aside from, of course, things like funds to recruit players, to retain the players that are here in the squad already, because this is clearly a winning squad with a winning mentality. You'd love to keep as many of them as possible. What kind of things do you think the club could be looking at doing in order to facilitate Queen's Park Women staying in the top flight next season?
Well, the club itself have access to great pitches. We've obviously got Lesser Hampden, we've got like Loch Inch and things like that. And I know there might be a couple of other investments that are going on. So we've got facilities there. We just need to be able to, as I said, we need to have incentive for players to want to come to us. And facilities is a massive way to do that. We obviously, there's going to be a lot of work going on once the season finishes, because we don't know where we're going to be playing next year, where we're going to be training. There's going to be a lot of change, so we just need to make ourselves the best outfit that we can to attract players, to maintain players, to make sure that we're in an environment that we can train well and play well and keep ourselves in that league. So there will need to be a lot of work goes on behind the scenes. Hopefully we get quite a bit of say in that as well, if the club are able to, but as I said, there's a lot of work to be done, and we'll leave that to the big guns that do it. But it's all about just making ourselves a team that people would want to play for, and competing to stay in that top flight, because we've got the facilities there to do it. We just maybe need to put the right plan in place to make sure that we can do that.
As you say, that will be a decision to be made perhaps a little bit higher up than you or I. All I can say is that I hope that you continue the end of this season and the form that you and the team are in, let's hope that you do see it out undefeated, as the manager has challenged you to do so, and that we'll see you next season in the top flight of women's football in Scotland. Ellie, thank you very much for your time. All the best for the rest of this season and into next season as well.
Thank you, and thanks for having me.
So once again, thank you to Ellie Kane for taking the time to come and speak to us. Another great chat with her, obviously just hearing about how she's found this season. Of course, it's been absolutely excellent, and it can really tell that she's quite proud of, you know, being the captain. She'll be looking forward to lifting the title in a couple of weeks' time. And as well as mentioned, you know, she's one of three players that has been part of this squad for the last 3 years. And, you know, 3 seasons ago, they were only winning 4 games the entire season. To go to this season, you mentioned it earlier on, Enzo, about the goals that they've scored as well, but to only lose 2 games as well, and of course wrap up the league with 5 to go, you know, you can tell that she's absolutely loved this season, and I think she's, you know, very much looking forward to what next season may hold potentially in the top flight of women's football in Scotland.
Yeah, and the thing is, that leadership, because people will look at Ellie Kane's contributions, right, and they'll see the goals and they'll look at the performances on the part, those, as we talked about earlier on, those Player of the Month awards that she won earlier on in the season. But the leadership is, it's obviously not quite as tangible as those things, right? But if you have a leader on the park that everybody backs, that everybody trusts, that everybody can get behind when they talk to you, then that makes such a big difference in any team. You know, we see it all the time. And I think they, as a squad, are very, very fortunate to have her. And I'm sure she will be looking forward to next season, because it's probably something that none of them were. I mean, I know that they were confident in their ability to do well this season, but I don't think any of them would have even dreamt that it would be as great as what it has been. So, it's always interesting listening to her talk. I thought it was really interesting when you spoke to her earlier on in the season, and that was just as good a listen there, David.
It's such a luxury to have a player like that that's actually embedded in the club. Obviously, she's been here for a while now, and to also be such a star player, essentially. I mean, she got that absolutely ridiculous Player of the Month four in a row.
She was nominated for the fifth as well, but unfortunately didn't pick that one up.
I mean, you couldn't really write a better season, could you? I mean, from a personal perspective, she's obviously absolutely owned that, and then to go and actually win the league at such a canter, it's a special one. And no, it was another really good interview from her, and great to hear how her thoughts on the season.
Yeah, of course. We will continue highlighting their results every week. There are 5 league games to go, and they are looking, they'll be getting the league trophy on the last home game of the season, which is the 12th of May. I think that may be at home to Birmingham Thistle. I'll just double check that right now while I'm talking, but that will be played at New Tinto Park. You know, anybody that may have walked past Lesser Hamden recently may have noticed that the grass is actually dug up at this moment in time. They're reseeding it, is what it's called. You know, they're replacing the grass. It's obviously been used so much this season that they're having to replace it early. Obviously, doing something like that is going to rule out the women's team being allowed to play any more games this season at Lesser Hamden. So they will be lifting the trophy at New Tinto Park. We'll, of course, see what happens next season. I think the club would be unbelievably daft, and that's putting it politely, to not utilise Lesser Hamden. New Tinto Park doesn't even actually meet the criteria for the SWPL 1 for the top flight, so they're going to have to find somewhere to play, and if it's not Lesser, then that would be not a good look for the club. But it will be Birmingham Thistle, May the 12th. They'll be lifting the trophy there, and of course there'll be one more game to go after that. Unfortunately, it looks like the men's team may still be playing into that time as well. We were hoping that our season would be finishing on the 3rd of May with the last championship game of the season. However, with the 1-0 defeat to Inverness on Saturday just there, Queen's Park are now very seriously, as if we weren't already, but now it's frighteningly obvious. And Enzo, your premonition is coming true, where it looks like we are staring down the barrel of the League One playoff following that horrific, and it was just an utterly horrific performance on Saturday. We don't really want to spend too much time on it, but we're going to have to talk a little bit about it. Enzo, would you like to kick things off? Do you have the words to describe what you watched on Saturday?
I have words, but I'm not sure I'm allowed to say them on the podcast, to be honest with you. Because
you're free to say what you want.
They're quite strong. No, I'll try and keep it PG. But let's be totally honest, right? That performance on Saturday, given what was at stake, given the importance of that, and given that the breathing space that 3 points would have taken for us was nothing short of pathetic. The team just looked totally disjointed. They looked lethargic, I think, and just nothing went right. It was, and the thing is, do you know what? Like, fair play to Inverness, they came to Hamden with a game plan, and it worked out. But see, to be honest with you, I can't imagine they'll have had many easier wins this season, because we just weren't in that game, and even a goal behind, I don't think I felt that. Oh, come on, we can still get back into this. It's almost as if the heads dropped probably before Inverness even scored, to be honest. It's almost as if we went into that with no expectation that we could win. And that is really concerning, and even more concerning than just Saturday. Obviously, as you say, we're staring down the battle, the barrel of a relegation playoff. And I understand there's a gulf between the Championship and League One. The way this team's playing right now, I don't think I'd fancy us to beat anyone across two legs, to be honest.
Yeah, it is concerning. I was a bit more optimistic than you were, Enzo. David, you mentioned Enzo sort of making this a bit of a sort of premonition that this was what was going to happen. So I don't know whether that means we can actually blame you for it or not, Enzo. But aside from that, I was a bit more optimistic going into this one. I'd kind of thought, okay, with the Morton game, that was obviously, when have we ever done well against Morton, Dundee United? I don't want to say it could happen to anyone because plenty of teams have done well against Dundee United this season, but you can almost somewhat excuse it. And I really, really did think that going into the Inverness game that we would be a team that is, I don't want to say more at our level, but it's probably the only way that I can really describe it. And for us to go in and just have such a flat performance, there isn't any excuse for it. I don't really care about whether Dom Thomas is in the team or not, to be honest. There's plenty of, we don't have the youth element of it anymore. Like, we've got experienced guys in the squad. There should be enough in there to show up, essentially. And for that not to happen, it's worrying. And three games left to go. I'm not looking forward to a game against Dunfermline at this point, who have obviously picked up a bit of form, and suddenly it's all a wee bit ominous. And it's a difficult one to judge because we've stopped scoring goals. Clearly, the last three games we haven't scored a goal. We seem to be, Peyton's kind of lost that clinical touch. There was a couple in this game where you kind of hope that he just puts him away, to be honest, especially the one at the end when the ball sort of drops to him in front of Ridgers and he doesn't manage to make a good enough contact with it. There just doesn't seem to be that spark in the team that we had when Sheridan arrived originally, which obviously pushed us on a bit and got a good few goals. And it does make me wonder after this game whether Davidson's going to be tempted to change the shape again because it's one thing to say against Morton and Dundee United, okay, you lost, it didn't go so well, but for that to then manifest itself against a team who are in your direct sort of relegation rivals, you've got to then be actually questioning whether that is the right setup, whether that's the right shape. And we're getting into that point now of starting to tinker with a lineup. And for me, this is where the bit that I can't really blame, or I wouldn't blame Davidson for, that's clearly a Dutch issue. We don't have the depth. We just don't. Like, as soon as you do take out a Dom Thomas, unfortunately, it's not worked out with McKinstry. It's not going to work out in the next three games. Kars hasn't really been able to do it. The sort of creative elements of the team aren't creating, and it's concerning.
No. Right. Okay. Yeah. I totally agree. By the way, right, the squad doesn't have any depth. You look at the bench, and there's nobody there who you're thinking, right, bring him on, he's going to change the game. We simply don't have that, and that's something that we're going to have to recruit for in the summer, regardless of what division we find ourselves playing in next season. But there's more to it than that, because I think even looking at the guys on the park, I genuinely don't believe Davidson, the way he set them up on Saturday, set them up to get the best out of them. I'm sure he believed it was to get the best out of them, or that there was a plan in mind, but I have no idea what it was. I mean, I know that he's really good in defence as well, right? But we need Jack Thompson in midfield. We miss him in midfield. We have options at centre-back. There's other guys that we can play there. I know Bannon's been poor recently. I know that some people, question Tizzard a little bit. I think Wilson's even dropped off a bit. But these guys are centre-halves. That's what their trade is. Play them there. Just please just do it. And please move Jack Thompson back into midfield. And if you're putting if you're moving Jack Thompson a little bit further forward, please also do the same thing with Turner, because Turner cannot sit deep in that midfield. He just doesn't contribute anything from there. I think Turner's been exceptionally poor for the past maybe month or so, possibly a little bit longer, I'm not sure. But part of that is because I don't think he's being used properly. And I think those two changes alone would probably impact that lack of creativity that you're talking about. But at least from my perspective as a fan anyway, I see that as a massive, massive issue with the way the team is being set up. And the kind of concerning thing, I suppose, as well, is that I don't feel as though Davidson actually learned anything from the Morton game getting into the United game, and then from the United game getting into the Inverness game. I felt as though there was a kind of stubbornness to the way he set the team up. And I don't want to be too critical of him yet, but I'm slightly disappointed by that.
I don't know if going into that game against Inverness, I mean, I have really serious concerns about how we set up going into that game. Yeah. I mean, I've actually scrolled back through. Obviously, we were doing our best to give Callum some live updates from the game as it was going. And I've actually sent a message 10 minutes into the game highlighting the fact that we had 11 men in the box defending a corner. And I feel like I'm not really sure. Obviously, they did seem to set up with their corners where they piled everybody on top of Callum Ferry. And they do right to do that, because that has been a weakness for us this season. It's been slightly better under Davidson, but it's certainly earlier on in the season that was a big weakness. But I don't understand why we had to be so defensive. I also was really quite frustrated the entire game, just in terms of how we transitioned from defence to attack. Like, we were not moving the ball with any kind of pace, any kind of urgency at all. Inverness they had players running forward. They had Samuels running. I can't believe I'm saying this guy's name, but Louis Longstaff was running from the left wing to the right wing and running across the park. I'm not saying he was doing much with the ball, but he had energy. He was looking interested. He was trying to get involved. Our attack seemed to be knock the ball about the three centre-halves, get to the halfway line, look up. Nobody's running about because the midfield, you've got, I agree, Jack Turner playing. I actually think Jack Turner and Mackenzie Carse should have been swapped around. I'm not sure why Mackenzie Carse was lined up in the number 10 role. Jack Turner should be there, and Mackenzie Carse potentially could have sat a little bit more. But we had nothing moving in the midfield. So then it was aimless long balls up front. Payton doesn't hold the ball up well enough. And Sheridan done as much as he could do with the balls hit to him. I mean, he again, probably won every header coming to him, but he had nothing round about him at all, once again, to support. And the lineup decisions, as you've already touched on, as I've just touched on a little bit there, even the substitutions, like, why, again, when we're 1-0 down, we're chasing this game, it's a must-win game, we've been terrible, why were we sticking with the three centre-halves? Why do we bring on Tommy Robson to go at centre-half? Why are we not bringing somebody else on to be a bit more attacking? It's just, that's... 5-0 against Dundee United was woeful. Like, I walked out early that game. That was dreadful watching. The Morton game was incredibly disappointing on the back of their run of form recently. But that game against Inverness, that's the one where I'm now... I now have question marks on Callum Davidson already. And I feel like... decisions that were made there, I don't know, it's not him costing us alone, because of course the players still have to perform, and they did not, because they were incapable of playing simple 5-yard passes at times. Even Danny Wilson, who has been excellent since he came in, he gave away one unbelievable ball that gave Inverness a chance. Thankfully it was cleaned up by Jack Thompson, I think, as well. But I had serious question marks over Callum Davidson coming away from that game on Saturday there.
I get your point. I'm not quite at the same level of severity, because I think there's, I mean, hindsight 2020, all that nonsense, isn't it? I would certainly agree with the sort of general premise of putting Thompson back into midfield, getting Turner further up the pitch, or just out of that position, frankly, because I don't think it's just not doing him any favours either. And I would be concerned if we set up against Dunfermline next week in the exact same way. But the reality is that Davidson is in such a pressure cooker environment. I mean, we're not on a good, like, we're on an objectively terrible run of form right now, and it's affecting us, but it's the sort of thing that could get resolved across a season, but he doesn't have that. He's got three games, and that's why he needs to find that fix now, which is the scary bit. And I mean, I actually thought it was interesting when I watched the interview with him after the game. Remarkably calm, remarkably laid back, and hopefully that's a good thing, and I'm sure he's still got confidence that they can they can pull themselves out of this potentially in the last three games of the season. But yeah, he's got a lot of big lineup decisions and shape choices to make over the next few days, and it'll be super interesting to see how he does it against Dunfermline, who are not the same Dunfermline that we've played at points this season when they've been ravaged by injuries. They're doing okay, so it's not going to be an easy match. And yeah, I think if it's not working with the five at the back, or if it's not working with the two up front, we have to try something different, because I mean, we're not scoring goals. We're not creating as many chances anymore. There seems to be a tendency to start playing it out from the back a wee bit more, which we literally complemented the opposite of at the start of the season, or the start of David Jones' reign.
It's not just playing out from the back. We play it out from the back until we get to about the halfway line and then punt it. It's really, really weird. Yep. And it just doesn't work. I honestly don't know if it's ever worked. I don't understand where this idea stems from. I don't know why this is now... It seems to be our primary game plan, but it's horrible to watch and totally ineffective.
Yeah, honestly, you're lucky you weren't there, Calum. It was really quite dreadful at times, just how slow we tried to move forward, and we paid the price for that. Yeah, Peyton had a couple of chances. That one at the end that you mentioned, I mean, at the time I thought he was unlucky, but watching that back, I think he probably should have done a little bit better. I don't know if he like tries to knee it or something. I don't understand why he doesn't stick his head through it, because it drops from, you know, it's up in the air and hanging for quite a bit of time. But yeah, which is really, we did not create enough, and it was all half chances. They were all relatively easy for Ridgers to save. I think one of them required like a half decent save. Saying that, Calum Ferry did save a 1-on-1. If you go back and just go back and look at the highlights, by the way, and you can pause it just as that through ball is being played. It was Mackay, wasn't it, Enzo, that had that one-on-one chance?
Yeah.
As the through ball's being played there. Just look at that back three. Look at that back three line. I implore you to go and look at that, the highlights there, because what Tommy Robson is 10 yards away from Jack Thompson and Danny Wilson as the centre-halves. It's truly dreadful. That's not the first time he's been guilty of that either, but not the sole reason that we lost, of course. Just all round miserable.
Also, just to add on that, why does every team that gets a free kick against us score it? By the way, honestly, it's like you're playing FIFA or something like that. Anytime that anybody comes up against us from outside the box, it's a goal. It more often than not, I do not get it. It was absolutely a handball, by the way. His arms were in the air.
Yeah, agreed.
Slightly unfortunate, but his arms were away from his body, so it was definitely a handball. But my God, man, what I would give for a tiny bit of ridiculous luck at some point in the next few games. It would be nice.
Yeah, you're right though. Like, so how many free kicks is? Because obviously those the Inverness one, Morton scored one like that. Dundee United scored one up at Tannadice. Ayr scored one at Hampden. This is just since Davidson came in, by the way. That's only since Davidson came in, and they're all from pretty similar positions as well. You're right. It's every time a team gets a free kick, kind of just outside the box, I'm fearing that it's going to hit the net, because more often than not, it seems to be the outcome. And it is really frustrating. And more than that, like I agree with you fully, Calum, by the way. We've not... See, when you think back on some of the bad luck that we've had go against us this season, so just, you know, things like Tizard's red card at Raith Rovers, right? Or the free kick that Ayr got, actually, that they scored at Hampden, which shouldn't have been a foul. Loads of wee daft things like that. I honestly can't remember coming away from any game this season and going, oh, we really got away with that there. It just hasn't happened. Every single win that we've got has come from us just either being much better than the opposition or working really hard for it. There's never been a sort of, oh, that, you know, that was a wee bit of fortune today, wasn't it? And we really are, we're really due it, but we're running out of time for it.
Yeah, it would be an excellent time if it decides to swing in our favour this time, and we get a little bit of that rub of the green that we have been missing recently. But I don't know what it's going to take, but yeah, we need something to step in and turn this team around, because yeah, three games to go and the league table doesn't look good. Enzo, do we do a man of the match? What do you think?
Who were you thinking?
Honestly, I was considering a protest vote and giving it to Scott Williamson because I thought he came on and he had five minutes.
Bit, yeah.
He had 5 minutes where he actually held the ball up three times, got players involved. He looked more interested than some others.
Yeah, he looked more energetic than anybody else as well. I thought like there was a real kind of, it looked as though he was actually fighting for something.
Yep.
Which obviously the whole team are fighting for something, but it, you know, that wasn't really the impression you'd get from watching that performance. I'm fine with giving it to Scott Williamson.
There we go. You probably didn't expect to hear that, Callum, but there we go. Our man of the match is for his 5 minute cameo and getting involved better than some of them did in 90 minutes. We're going to give it to Scott Williamson. See if that draws a reaction from anybody elsewhere. Let's dive straight into it. Let's look straight ahead. If we dwell on this any longer, we're probably going to start driving ourselves insane. Even looking at the league table right now, Queen's Park, 36 points. Inverness, 38 points. Obviously, we're now all on the same number of games played. It's no longer in our hands if Inverness go on and win their next three games. There's nothing we could do, even if we win our three games, there's nothing we can do to avoid this this playoff. So we have to go in. We have to hope that they start dropping some points. Who is it they have this weekend? Is it Wraith?
Wraith on Friday. You can watch it on
Friday. Oh, God, that's miserable. I could set the weekend up even worse. They've got Wraith on Friday night. Who I know you actually kind of said 2 minutes ago, Enzo, or I think it was before we started recording, that you weren't sure if you maybe think that Wraith will go on and kick on and try and, you know, last chance.
Well, it's not in their hands anymore because I've believed Dundee United win the league on Saturday if they win regardless. But I feel as though Wraith, this is the last potential, like, you know, they're getting out there knowing if we don't win this game, the league's over. And I think, you know, given that Inverness's home form is a little bit poorer than their away form, I think Wraith will do us a wee favour. That doesn't necessarily mean that I have any belief in us capitalising on Saturday. But honestly, I think if we are going to dig ourselves out of this hole, we are going to be relying on other teams to an extent. We're probably going to be relying on the fact that our Broth are relegated now when we go up there. We might hopefully be relying on Airdrie having already made the top four when we play them in the last day of the season. And if we can take 6 points from those games, who knows? But it's difficult to feel confident that that's going to happen.
It is tricky, isn't it? I would say that on paper, weirdly, we are the favourites because for exactly those reasons, Enzo, like their Broth game, you've just got to assume and hope that you win it. Frankly, if we don't win that, when we deserve to be in ninth place, that would be atrocious. And Inverness's fixtures, like, it's just not easy. But they've got Dunfermline as well. Obviously, they've got Wraith on Friday, and then they've got Morton at the last game of the season. That's not an easy run of fixtures. It's just whether we can actually stop bottling it. I mean, the amount of times this season where we've been in good positions, and that's the thing that bothers me so much with this. It's objectively all right. It's not a team that should be sitting in ninth place, potentially about to get relegated. The squad, as it stands right now, is good enough to do better. And I still believe that the squad, even under Veldman, was good enough to do better than they did. Not that I'm saying that they would be roaring up the table, but they should not have been in a four-month no-win streak for that period of time. And that's a bit that really, really frustrates me, because you see teams like, you watch Arbroath this season and you know that, like, they don't have the squad for it. They just don't. The players aren't good enough and they're going to go down as a result of it. And you see that, like, we've seen it last season with Hamilton. Like, you could just see that their players were not good enough. And I don't think that's the case with ourselves. Like, could you imagine, like, all these guys going down to League One? You would be expecting to run away with the league. I mean, it would be pretty bad if you didn't. It's a nightmare scenario for me right now. I'm still somewhat optimistic that even if we do end up ninth, we will have a good chance in the playoffs. I still stand by that, and I still believe that would be the case for Inverness as well if they ended up in ninth place. But I just, the thought of the stress of those games, by the way, for a relegation playoff, I mean, it's so far-fetched from the optimism that we all had at the start of the season. I mean, if I don't want to do it, but if you were to go back and listen to our like championship preview episode that we do each season, my God, man, like the buzz that was around the club at that point was ridiculous. It was absolutely ridiculous, and it feels like we're kind of at a bit of a sort of precipice right now in terms of, I don't know, like you go down into League One and it's a long way back up. Do you know what I mean? You've seen it with clubs time and time again. Obviously, Falkirk are the most hilarious example of that. There's no guarantee what happens from there. So, biggest three games in, since we went pro, I would say like staying up is almost more important than going up. Previously.
Yeah, 100% is, yeah.
Put it this way, right? The club wasn't banking on getting promoted from the Championship last season, because if they were, they wouldn't have even contemplated selling Simon Murray. But I would be willing to bet that there's no contingency plan for his going down, because that was never, ever anticipated.
Nah. And I don't think the squad budget or anything, I genuinely don't have a clue what our budget is, but it won't be up there with the top teams in the league, but I do not believe that it's a bottom two of the league budget getting played to guys like Wilson and Dom Thomas, etc. So, yeah, it's a big few weeks ahead.
Yeah, let's look ahead to Dunfermline. Let's briefly talk about that. Their last five games, three wins, a draw, and then a defeat. However, they do have a win over Dundee United in that three wins. Also beat Morton and Arbroath. Then drew to Partick Thistle and lost recently to Airdrie, who, as I'm staring at the league table, I cannot believe that they're level on points with Partick Thistle. That's quite incredible what they're doing right now. But enough on them. We're obviously in this pretty brutal run of form. Callum, you first. You mentioned about, you know, the squad and about some changes that you would make. I mean, I think actually now are we all agreed that we probably need to change the shape. We can't really afford to be in this more defensive back five, back three, whatever you want to call it, and moving players forward. Say if Callum Davidson is listening to us and he moves Thompson and Turner one step further forward. Is there any other changes you're making, or who else are you bringing in to fill the gaps behind them?
Oh, it's a tricky one. So I would be willing to keep the same sort of formation if you are making those changes. So obviously if Dom Thomas is available, Dom Thomas starts behind Sheridan and Payton, but I would 100% be moving Thompson into midfield alongside Welsh, because like we're talking about creativity and the lack of it. Like Thompson, I don't think is what you would typically define as like creative. He's not a Dom Thomas who's going to run and beat guys and he's got all the tricks in his, but he drives the team forward with the ball.
Everything
and you were saying
through.
That, yeah, 100%. Because you were saying, and you can see it in the highlights as well, the ball gets stuck in midfield and then you're just lumping it up. With the best will in the world, like Turner and Welsh, that's not their game. It's not their game for Turner, in my view, his game is getting the ball in neat wee triangles and playing 1-2s and getting into wee pockets of space in and around the opposition box. It's not sitting deep in defence and either driving the team forward or having loads of defensive responsibilities. I don't think that's his game in the slightest. Whereas Thompson can do both of those things. He can make that defensive tackle. He's a big physical guy as well. And he can then carry the ball. And then suddenly you're up the park, you've got loads of space and you've got a man up on what it would be if you were just doing a big punt from those back two. You've got another player up with them. So 100% Thompson into midfield for me. As we've said multiple times this season, it'd be much easier if we just, what was that sheep that they cloned? Was it Dolly or something like that? If we had a couple of Jack Thompsons, it would be useful. In terms of the gap that leaves, I don't really know, to be honest. I agree with the general premise, David, of, or was it UNs? I can't remember, that was play the centre-backs at centre-back kind of thing. I don't think I'd be bringing Fox in at this point in the season with three games to go. It seems more risk than is needed. I think you'd be playing Bannon. I'd be playing Bannon anyway, alongside or taking Thompson's spot. Obviously, Tizzard started at the weekend. I didn't see enough of it in the highlights. How did he get on? He obviously, just before Wilson came back in, he started playing a few games actually exactly in that centre of the five, and he looked pretty good. It was as if Davidson had totally simplified his game for him. He was almost playing as a wee bit of a sweeper, but with Wilson understandably taking that spot. He started just adjacent to him. How was he? Obviously, he got subbed at half time, which isn't the best indication.
I mean, I think there was on the highlights where he had that header that he missed or kind of mishit, and it kind of created a half chance for Inverness. Again, I don't think he was necessarily the problem, but he also wasn't helping the team in general. Unfortunately, you know, it's another one where it seems like we can't just have one or two players having an off game. Every single one of them has to, and yeah, it just drags everybody else down, doesn't it?
But the thing is, we shouldn't have necessarily been relying on guys like Tizard, Bannon, Wilson, Robson, whatever. We should be capable of scoring a couple against Inverness. You know, it should be fine to concede one, even if it's absolutely calamitous. We should be able to score goals as well, because that's something that we have for the most part been pretty good at this season. But it was just never going to happen.
Yeah. Enzo, was there any other changes you want to make? Is anybody
I don't know. It's not so much the personnel for me. I think it's the way that they're set up, and obviously we talked a bit about that earlier. I'd like to see players play in their best position, and I'd like to see us cut out the, you know, run with it for a wee bit and then lump it up. It's not working. I'd like to see the ball go through Jack Turner, who is right in the middle of the park where he's most effective again, and let him, you know, see what he can do. See if he can link up Wilson to, you know, to potentially Sheridan rather than punting it and hoping for the best. It's just it's pretty grim to watch right now.
Yeah, I don't really know if I have any squad suggestions either. All I want to see is somebody putting the ball in the back of the net for Queen's Park. I mean, obviously, last time up there, you know, it was a 3-0 victory. Turner, Thomas and Kars with the goals there. I'd take a repeat of that. I would also take 1-0 own goal in the 94th minute, whatever it takes for Queen's Park to get the 3 points, because that is so unbelievably important right now. Speaking of, let's make a quick score prediction, shall we? Callum, is it me or you going first? We're still level on points, I'm assuming.
I think it might be me.
Away you go.
I think because you picked Sheridan, did you? Well, I picked Welsh first, then Sheridan. I think you started with a Sheridan double.
Go for it. You take it away this week.
All right, sound. I will go. What am I doing? I'll go for 2-1 Queens. I will have Peyton as first goal scorer, get back on the score sheet, and Jack Thompson will, Davidson will be listening to this, he'll pop him into midfield and he'll get a nice goal.
Okay. 2-0 Queens Park. Dom Thomas will be back. He'll score the second, but the first goal scorer will be Killian Sheridan.
Oof, drama.
That's interesting, because I was actually going to do something similar. I was going to give Dom Thomas my first goal and kind of will it into existence, just kind of manifest it. I don't know. Neither of you took 1-0, did you?
Nope. Nah.
I'm going to take 1-0, and it's going to be, I have absolutely no idea who's going to score it. That's the trouble. 1-0, maybe Welsh.
Okay.
Are we header?
Yeah. We had it from a corner or something like that.
Aye, it's going to be a bit of a rare occurrence for us this weekend, because actually none of the three of us are going to be in attendance. We're going to have to wheel out guest pundit Gregor next week maybe to give us insight from the day. Obviously, Callum, we all know that you're out enjoying yourself, well, working and out enjoying yourself in Africa. Andrew, you're off on a wee holiday yourself as well. You got a wee bit of sun to enjoy this weekend?
I mean, like we talked about at the start of this podcast, the weather here has been absolutely depressing recently, so I got myself a wee... I'm flying out to Mallorca for a few days on Saturday afternoon. I think I might be able to follow along with the game before I get in the plane. I can't remember exactly what time my flight's at. That's probably something I want to check. But... yeah, I won't be in attendance, unfortunately. No. Because I actually I like Dunfermline away, but I needed a wee break from from not just from this team, but just in general. It'll be nice.
But it's just a coincidence that it happened this weekend and on a Saturday. Yeah. Yeah. So you're not making it for that. I'm also not making it, but as part of the coaching staff of the Queen's Park supporters team, I will be in Northampton. The supporters team have a British Cup. This is a quarter final, I believe. Again, I should probably check that as well. But yeah, I believe it's a British Cup quarter final against Northampton Town supporters. So there's a hardy bunch of 15 or 16 of us going down a 7 a.m. flight out of Glasgow down to Birmingham and then jumping on a train to Northampton to take on their supporters team. They go to their game in the afternoon. Northampton against, I don't know. Do you never feel like, see, when you're talking about like lower league English football, it's just it's can be made up.
It doesn't.
Places,
and
Woking,
I'm not even sure what league it is that they're in, but we're going to see Northampton, and then we're going to paint Northampton red after that. So it could be a bit of a messy weekend. So I'll hopefully make it back in one piece and maybe tell you about it next weekend. But Callum, round it off. Have you got any exciting plans? You get anything special going on this weekend as well?
I can't remember. I'm sure I'm doing something this weekend, but nothing particularly exciting. You have definitely got the good stories for next week. So yeah, if anybody wants to tell any of us what happens about the for the game this week, that'd be useful, because it's going to be a pretty uninsightful episode next week. Hopefully we at least win and we can be gleeful if nothing else.
Yeah, that would definitely help. For anybody that is going to the game, obviously, and or perhaps still hasn't made arrangements for going, better promote the supporters bus as we should be doing more often. We definitely haven't mentioned it as much as we should. It's still up. It's still available to book. This is Wednesday evening. So you're probably listening to this Thursday morning, hopefully. Still available, queensparkonlineshop.co.uk. It is £12 for an adult, £10 for concessions, and it's leaving the Clarkson Toll at 12:15. And then the Tesco at Hampden or at 12:30. And that is, of course, this Saturday, 20th of April. Whatever everybody's up to, hopefully you are able to attend the game at Dunfermline. And it is a win for Queen's Park and you will enjoy it. If you're like any of the three of us and you're off doing something else, hope you enjoy that too. And until next week, Calum and Enzo, been a pleasure as always. Continue finding us on Twitter at SpidersTalkPod. Continue finding us as well on Pie and Bovril and all the threads relating to Queen's Park. Thank you for coming back, listening to us once again. A final congratulations to Queen's Park Women on securing the SWPL2 title. And we will see you all again next week.
Cheers.
Thanks for listening. The consulate then day. Come final, league match or friendly. The consulate then day. Play for the sake of the game. Play for the sake of the game.